You know. Hey guys, it's Lavetta.
And it's Miriam.
And this is the Notorious Women Podcast, a comedy podcast about some of history's most notorious women.
Yes.
You know, Miriam, this is our last episode of this season.
You know, time really flew this season, I feel.
Yeah.
I don't believe you, but I do. Because why would you lie? That would be
why
weird.
Why would I lie? That would be that would be weird. But it is. And thank you, listeners, for following us yes. along our and with our journey and being with us along the journey of this podcast. We enjoy doing these, even though, you know, they take some time and some work, but we really, really enjoy doing these because they're fun, some of them.
I call this podcast my heart song.
So just a programming note. So that means after this episode, we will skip a week. So we'll have a week off. And be ready for the fall. We're both fall babies, so
we are
ready. We love the fall. So we will take a break after this episode. But this episode is what we are doing now. So Miriam, yes. I am first this week.
It's you, okay?
And I have a good one. This is so my notorious woman this week is actually women. Two women.
Okay.
And I have to admit, this is probably one of the funniest and dumbest stories that we'll probably have on this show. And
because, I can't wait.
Let me get into it.
Okay.
So my notorious women for this week are the Barbie Bandits.
What?
Okay.
Oh my God.
Let's get into it.
Okay.
And the Barbie Bandits are Heather Johnston and Ashley Miller, just so you know.
Okay.
So let's set the scene.
Okay.
Heather Johnston was born to Edward Johnston, a construction worker, and Lisa Johnston, a school teacher. So very like solid middle class, you know, family. So by all accounts, she was an all-American girl next door type. Blonde from a solid middle class Christian family. So they had a church.
Yeah.
They went to it. They raised her right, you know.
Yep.
In 2006, the competitive rising tennis player, that was her thing in high school. And like, she was so good at tennis actually that she actually got a scholarship to college for it.
Oh, wow.
So in 2006, she graduated from high school and she was preparing to go off to her freshman year of college. And during orientation, and she even won a scholarship to go off to college. So this is, everything is going great for this girl. Like,
listen, I just want to sign my kids up for tennis right now. Go on.
Yeah. Great
Let's
for
go.
This girl. Right.
Yeah.
And so, she went to orientation. She was just like, I don't know about this. But all on the surface, everything's going great.
Okay.
But Heather, like a girl from last week, Jennifer Pan, was keeping a secret from her family.
Okay.
Not quite the same secret, but okay. Secret.
I was like, you're scaring me a little. Go on.
Heather was working at a little club called Shooter Alley, a strip club. And was reportedly making about $1,000 a week for just 3 days of work. So she probably worked Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right?
I know I'm old, but like, what was the address of this club? I'm just curious. Just for a friend.
No, this is in Georgia. This is in Georgia too. So it's got that tinge of like Tiger King, Southern foolishness.
Yes.
Like it's got a lot of that foolishness going on. And specifically Southern white foolishness. I'm just saying. No, there's some black foolishness in here too. But
Okay.
So now, can you imagine your all-American girl? You find out you think she's working at McDonald's or Wendy's or like,
Dairy Queen,
I don't know,
you know,
Dairy Queen, like, I don't know, The Gap, you know?
Right.
No.
Such good options.
She's working at a strip club.
All
so
right.
somehow her parents found out, because I'm sure like maybe a family friend saw her there dancing.
I know exactly, exactly how her parents found out. Okay.
Yeah. So they found out, of course they were horrified and shocked, and they confronted her and they're like, well, you got to stop working at the club or move out. Now, again, she's 17, 18, just graduated from high school. So she's very young, but technically she's an adult, right?
Right.
So Heather was like, oh, that choice is easy. I'm leaving home. See ya. Wouldn't want to be later.
Oh my God.
And so now of this decision, Heather later would later say that, quote, I went wild. I was on drugs most of the time. I didn't care what anyone had to say. I was going to do it my way, end quote.
Okay.
So she definitely fell into drugs at the club. And like, yeah, remember I was saying a Southern foolishness going on? It's Southern crackhead, meth head behavior foolishness going on here, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
There's
we
a
just
lot
keep
of this.
Adding layers. Okay.
It's just foolishness. And like young adult brain, too.
Yeah.
So that's probably the driving force behind a lot of these decisions. Now, so Heather's like, see you later, alligator. She moved in with Ashley Miller, her partner.
We were going to get there.
Who was another young stripper from that she met at the club. Now, Ashley's mother, Joy Miller, Ashley came from, I would say Ashley family, maybe because it was a little struggling a little bit more than Heather's family, but basically in the same kind of like realm of things. Like they needed to probably help getting pay for college, you know.
Right.
But her aspirations, Ashley's aspirations growing up, according to her mother, Joy, was to become a nurse.
Okay.
So again, graduated from high school. Apparently they went to the same high school, but they didn't really know each other. And they became friends when they realized they went to the same high school working at Shooter Alley.
Right. It was Shooter Alley that was the key bonding element to this
Shooter
friendship.
Shooter Alley.
Yeah.
Now, I ain't going to hate on these girls. $1,000 for 3 days of work.
Listen, I just applied for a job, okay?
So Heather and Ashley become besties, BFFs, and but at the club, they had only known each other for about 6 months, right?
Okay.
Like I said, they had a similar background, but instead of tennis, Ashley was more into cheerleading, like the cheerleading squad. And she also was supposed to be heading to college. So this is like the summer between high school graduation and college.
Mm-hmm.
But the two girls like to party. Basically, they like to do the cocaína, allegedly. maybe a little meth, a little molly. They love to party. And of course they do because...
they love diversity in their drugs.
They love diversity.
Yes.
But also, it's Shooter Alley. So when you're working at a strip club, this is the thing. It's not the idea of stripping, even nowadays, necessarily. It's the environment that strip clubs... is the thing that people worry about, right?
Yeah,
because if they're about their business and getting that money, be like, I'm going to stack my cash for the summer and then I'm going to go off to college and then come, maybe I'll work in between, like,
you know,
this is my summer
Christmas
job.
Break, you know.
I mean, you know, especially if you're making $1,000 for 3 days work. Like, imagine if you're during summer before that, like, if you go hard, you can save a pretty, you know, you can get that bag and save it up for school. But the girls are like, nope, we partying. This is what we doing now. And so once Heather moved in with Ashley, it basically became their day job. And they could just hang out during the day and do whatever and then go to work and what have you. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And also they are I feel like they're very young for their age. They're very like, you know, how those kids are very serious. Yeah, very immature for their age and probably kind of protected in a lot of ways. Like,
yeah.
And very naive. But, you know, they're pretty young girls, what have you, right? Young women. Now, according to Heather, one February night while hanging out with Ashley and Ashley's 27-year-old boyfriend.
Oh, shit.
Michael Chastain.
Okay.
At the apartment, the three began joking about the idea of Heather and Ashley robbing a bank. So they're doing drugs, probably allegedly drinking. Yeah. They're partying, basically, hanging out. The next morning, Heather says that Michael called with specific instructions about robbing a bank.
Oh, and they were like, do this thing. Okay.
Yeah. Basically, they're like, dude, we thought that was like a joke. And he's like, no, this is what you're going to do. I got a man on the inside, a man by the name of Benny.
Okay.
Who works at this Bank of America branch. Okay. And, you know, you're going to go in, pretend like it's a bank robbery, but you're going to get him. He's going to give you the money. And then we're going to split it four ways. Right.
Okay.
So the girls are like, I guess, like, I just want to say these girls obviously did not watch Legally Blonde, one of the best movies of the last 30 years, because this is the whole point about Legally Blonde, like to subvert that whole like dumb blonde stereotype that I think probably was codified in the 50s with Marilyn Monroe and that kind of thing. Right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But these girls are not doing Reese Witherspoon proud, because these girls are dumb as rocks. I think I'm just saying it. I think these girls are dumb as rocks. Like,
yeah.
I don't think, or maybe it's the drugs that was just killing the brain cells up. I don't know what. But they were like, I guess. Okay. So
I'm not doing anything else today because my manicurist called and she had to cancel. So let's go rob a bank instead. Okay.
Let's go rob a bank instead. Now, before she knew it, Heather says that she was on the phone with Benny, the inside man. And she remembers taking instructions from Benny, specifically what to write on the note that they would give to him on the day of the robbery. Right. And now they were supposed to go to Benny's location. It was a Bank of America in Ackworth, a subdivision northwest of Atlanta, about 30 miles away, inside a Kroger.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the best idea, but maybe maybe the security is less inside.
I don't know. I feel like there's security and then there's more security. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. So Heather, now later, Heather was being interviewed by ABC News. And she said that, the note contained threatening language, but she wouldn't go into details. So, but later on, ABC News Primetime found, they said that basically the note said, quote, remember, I will not hesitate to kill you. That was end quote. That was included in the note.
Oh, wow. All
okay. Right. So, but they were given specific instructions by Michael and Benny, right?
Okay.
So now I want to say this up front. Heather and Ashley are both young white girls.
Yes.
Benny, the inside man, and Michael, the boyfriend of Ashley, are both black.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's a whole, there's kind of layers and layers, right?
So this cake is getting more and more complex. I mean.
Michael's 27 and Benny's 22.
All right.
And Ashley and Heather are like 18, 19.
Okay. They're all of age, though. No one is 17.
They're all of age.
Okay.
But I don't think that Michael or anything threatened or anything like that. I think he's just wiser. I think he and Benny are just wiser and they haven't been sheltered.
Okay.
For lack of a better word. And
yet they convinced these two dumb fucks to rob a bank. I'll say it.
I just don't think that Heather and Ashley could change a light bulb between the two of them. I don't like to denigrate another woman. There are many, many intelligent blondes. I prefer like really intelligent women. And I know that thing is,
Lavetta,
like your intelligence level is not a hair color.
Our point of being here in our podcast is not to say women are better than men. It's to say the complexity of the human experience negates the idea that women are one thing, patriarchy. We are a billion things just like men are. Some of those things are dumb. Okay.
These girls would, Joey Tribbiani would be able to outsmart these girls. I'm just saying, like, Heather and Ashley,
Okay. Go on.
And then they're also young girls. Okay. So that's the thing that they, so the stage is set. So it was set on February 27, 2007. They headed out. And Heather said in an interview later, quote, I have to say, we were kind of excited. End quote.
Okay.
So.
Oh, God. So okay.
Now, we've established they're not very bright, right?
Yeah.
So two, and also I blame this on Michael and Benny because
yeah,
if I had talked to these two, I'd be like, there's no way that they could pull this off. So they gave them specific. Or keep a secret. They gave them specific instructions. So on February 27th, 2007, they headed out to the Bank of America.
Okay.
And because, again, these are geniuses, they went to the wrong bank. They drove to the wrong bank.
Funny. Okay, go on.
And they went inside. They were like, I don't know the right bank. So, you know what they did?
What did they do?
They called the bank they were intending to rob to ask for directions.
Oh my God, I can't keep it together. Okay.
Oh my God.
Then what? So they got directions. So they got directions at the bank.
Basically, this is like dude, where's my car? Yes. But girls.
I want to produce this movie. Okay, go on.
Yes. So they get it to, they find the right Bank of America inside a Kroger grocery store.
Oh, here we are.
Yes. And they go up to the counter. They go up to the window of Benny.
Uh-huh.
And in front of the cameras. Now, the whole time, so because, again, they're geniuses.
Uh-huh.
They show up wearing tight jeans and designer sunglasses. Now,
because
you know.
They look good, girl. It's like my big heist day. I have to look fashionable.
Girl, now you know Michael and Benny were like, you need to wear disguises. And they were like, get enough. Yeah.
I am sorry, but my face goes through a lot of processes to make it look this glowy. I am not covering it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They totally were playing into the whole Paris Hilton thing. So, which I'll get to in a little bit. So they go into the wrong bank. They go in, they find Benny, they realize he's the right one. So they go up to him. And then I guess Benny started to freak out because all of a sudden Heather was like, they started throwing money out, like just money everywhere and pushing
it out. Who started throwing money out?
Benny. So they go up to his window. And I guess maybe he started freaking out. So he just starts throwing money after they pretend, well, they give him the note. And he reads it and he just starts throwing money out, right?
So wait, Benny is behind or Michael?
Michael is the boyfriend of Ashley that came up with the plan.
And Benny is the inside guy. Okay,
yes,
okay.
At the bank.
Got it.
No one knows this but them. So again, it's four of them. They're going to split the whatever money they get four ways, right?
Got it. Okay.
So Heather says, quote, they started throwing it out and it was like everywhere. So I was pushing it. Ashley was grabbing it, putting it, throwing it in the bag. We were so scared. My heart was like, I think it stopped at one point. And I looked over and we looked at each other and we just started running again, end quote, she said. And like I said, they showed up there and they're in the bank with just sunglasses, tight jeans, and this whole time they're giggling, laughing. So people don't really, you just think it's probably like just some silly teenagers. I would say that'd probably draw more attention than anything, but they are also robbing a bank, right? So then they run out later. Surveillance tape would show them just giggling, two giggling young women in tight jeans and designer sunglasses. Mm-hmm. And so it showed them going out. And no one thought anything of it until, you know, the alarm was raised or what have you. Now, afterwards, so they run out. They got about $11,000.
Damn.
Right? $11,000.
That's like 11 weeks of work. Go on.
Yeah, but Miriam, they have to split it four ways.
Oh, that's so stupid.
So it's only about, it's a little bit less than $3,000. I mean, it's not 50. It's not 100. Girl, you could have gotten this in 3 weeks, less than a month.
Less than 3 weeks because it's not even
nine performances, girl. Like, so, but they're not thinking. Again, these are they're not thinking. They're like, oh my God, all this money. So they freak out. They go back to their apartment and they spread the money all over the floor. And they're like, oh my God. And they count it and they're like, it's about $11,000. So they were like, what are we going to do now? Shopping.
Oh my God.
So later on, cops, the surveillance cameras catch them going to a high-end salon because what does a girl need when she has this money? She needs to get highlights, of course. And then they go shopping at the upscale Atlanta neighborhood of Buckhead. They go to the Lenox Mall and Phipps Plaza.
Yeah.
And now, again, they have to still separate. They still have to give Benny and Michael their side.
But they don't have...
$3,000 is a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money to be going to Gucci. Okay.
No, yeah.
You'll get going crazy at Gucci.
Yeah.
So, again... because they couldn't change a light bulb between the two of them. All of these mistakes, all of this like not planning it out, it would catch up with them. So the word goes out that the bank has been robbed, and then they pull the surveillance tapes and they see these two teenage girls giggling and laughing. And that's when they dubbed them the Barbie Bandits.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. And, you know, cops are inundated. Everybody's in, and it goes on the news. And again, these are two attractive white girls, young white girls, apparently, you know, seemingly on this tape. And it's like, is it Paris Hilton? Is it like what, you know,
oh
it's
my
just
God.
Like all of this stuff. So authorities get like hundreds of tips. But they only got one really useful one from the strip club Shooter Alley, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah. So it only took 2 days.
That's not long at all.
For them to catch up with them. So on March 1st or 2nd, I saw one source say 1st and another one says 2nd. But most sources say March 1st in 2007, they got popped while driving in their car.
Okay.
Along with Michael.
So the three of them were in the car together.
So the three of them were in the car driving. The word had gotten around. They had traced the license plate. So the cops were on the lookout. So they started following them.
Okay.
And because, you know how I said Heather and Ashley are not too bright? I don't think Michael's the brightest bulb in the shed either.
Nobody is bright here. Okay, go on.
No. Because when they got popped, when the authorities stopped them, they were reportedly smoking marijuana.
Oh.
The marijuana.
That was very illegal at that point. Yes.
Yeah. While driving, and there's a big stash of Molly pills that they found. That
did
were
they have
probably
a big,
Michael's.
Did they have a banner on the car that said, I robbed a bank 2 days ago? Because they might as well have.
That's not in my notes, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
Right.
So now, Ashley, I don't know, out of love, but she claimed that the pills were hers. Which would complicate things down the road for her.
Yeah.
So they stopped, arrested them once at the station. And then when they arrested them, they arrested the two girls because they look familiar from the surveillance videos. But they arrested Michael because he had an outstanding warrant for something else. Of course he did.
Of course he did.
Now, once at the station, the girls were like, first they were like, Ashley was like, those are my drugs. And what is going on here? Like, they tried to pull that kind of like, I don't know what's going on. And then once they got to the station, they realized it was real.
Yeah.
Because Heather did say, like, once she got stopped, that she was like, oh, shit. They started singing like birds.
What did they think was going to happen?
They did not think. There was no thinking done
like,
at
I
all.
I guess, like, I would want highlights, so I would look good in jail, too. But... Other than that, you know what I'm saying?
No thinking was done at any time between the time they were partying that night
to this
day when they got popped. No thinking took place ever.
That makes a lot of
sense.
At
any point.
Got it.
Now, Heather, so they took them to the station, arrested them, they arraigned them. Heather spent a month in jail before her parents bailed her out. Because again, they're thinking... We raised her right. She's on her way to college. She has a scholarship. She's a good girl, right? And then finding out about the strip club. And then, like, now you've been arrested for robbing a bank for the amount that you claim you were making you could have made in 3 weeks at your job. That's the thing that gets me the most. Is that even
that's the funniest part.
It's not even like they each were going to get $25,000 or $50,000. Like, I'm not saying bank robbing is wrong, people. Let's be clear.
Yeah, don't do it. On behalf of Notorious Women Podcast, don't rob banks. Thank
you. Don't rob banks. But girl, anyway.
Listen.
So, Heather's parents were like, yeah, obviously they were distraught. They came down to see her, but they were like, they had bond hearings and they lowered her bond, all this other stuff. But they were like, it took them about a month and they eventually bailed her out of jail, which I actually think that's probably a good, that's a good compromise because she needs to know. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, Ashley was facing additional charges because, again, when they got popped, she was like, oh, those are my drugs. I'm going to be for protect my man. Also, when they started singing, they realized that Benny, who was the inside man at the bank, was their co-conspirator. So he was arrested, but he posted bail. And Benny was like, my name is Bennett. I ain't in it. I don't know these girls. I don't know nothing. I did nothing. I don't know nothing about nothing. So,
I mean, now, like, hard to prove his side.
It is hard to prove his side, but it's also like, they're saying you were in on it. And then if they really look at the surveillance tape, like, who knows? These are not actors. So who knows? He probably was acting terribly and like, who knows? But again, yeah, there's also race in here. These are two white girls with two black men. Yep. Now, Michael, the oldest of the bunch, was sent to state prison for an unrelated drug and weapons conviction.
Oh, okay.
While waiting trial for the bank robbery. Yeah, Michael was definitely in on some stuff. He sounds like he was just a fuck boy. He's been fucking up since he was probably like 16 or 17. Like, and which is why he probably thought this was easy to get these girls and that they would get off because they're attractive white girls. But he, again, you need to know what your partner is capable of.
Yeah.
And these two girls could not, these two young ladies could not find their way out of a brown paper bag. I don't think so.
No.
Now, as you can imagine, the parents were horrified, mortified, just terribly sad. Ashley's mother, Joy, went on. She had a GMA, Good Morning America interview that she did shortly after the arrest. And she said that Ashley was very sorry for what had happened and just fell in with the wrong crowd.
Yeah, that's what happened.
She said the two girls made some bad decisions. Heather's mom, Lisa, wept during an ABC interview, primetime interview. But because she was like, we instilled better values in these children.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, you do that your whole life and you hope that when they are confronted with this opportunity or this decision that they make the right decision.
Right.
She said, quote, I hope that I would instill and pretty much guarantee me wonderful adults. But I guess there's no guarantee, end quote.
Ugh.
Now, I just want to say, this is often used when it comes to white people. And I agree with them. I agree with them that these are young people whose brains have not finished forming. But I also think that someone pulled in one of the sources. I listened to a great podcast, by the way. And let me give them a shout out called Ridiculous Crime.
Ooh.
Because this definitely fits.
That's,
and one of the co-hosts on that was like, I think he said he pulled Ashley's yearbook quote. And the quote was like, a best friend a best friend would go to jail with you, but a soulmate would take the fall for you, or something like that. Like, basically, she was trying to do some Bonnie and Clyde kind of stuff. Some Bonnie from
she was basically like, I'm gonna commit a crime as soon as I graduate high school.
Yeah,
that's what that was.
Even if, let's say, I started working at a strip club making $1,000 for 3 days work, right, when I was her age. I don't do drugs because I know that's down. It makes you stupider than you already probably are.
Yeah, and these girls did not have wriggle room. So,
and also, if I was joking around about robbing a bank with my boyfriend and the next morning he's like, we're going to do this, I'd be like, have you lost your fucking mind? I'm not doing this.
The words, ladies, are absolutely not. And then you hang up the phone.
Yeah,
we'll try
dude,
that next
we were joking.
Time.
Yeah. Like, idiot. Yeah. So I say all that to say is that, I don't know. I feel like, yes, I feel like their parents definitely raised them better, but in the end, maybe they had a cloud. It was a drug cloud. Maybe, again, I don't think that they're probably the brightest girls in the group anyway. So it's all a confluence. But if they were young black women, they would never get this benefit of the doubt, and they would not get any of this, like,
parents
exposure,
wouldn't be on GMA. We wouldn't
interview.
See the other side of it.
Yeah, you wouldn't do any of this.
Nope.
Now, and also in how it all played out. Now, they were the ones who actually did the crime, right? So they actually did the robbing, took the money. And then the fact that one officer in one of the interviews I watched, he was saying how, he was like, yeah, this whole thing about, oh, they fell in with the wrong crowd. And he was like, I would say this, a lot of parents say this, but he's like, I don't think parents know their children as well as they think they know them.
Yeah.
Because if you're right, if you're like in their business and being like, what you doing, where you going, who you doing it with, then you would find these red flags a lot sooner. So, and he's like, I'm not blaming the parents, but oftentimes parents say, oh, my kid would never do this. But it's like, do you know your kid after a certain age? Because teenagers start
keeping
secrets.
And I gotta say, if you have the option of keeping your kid at home, when you find out that they're stripping, you keep them at home. You come home to my house.
That's a very good point.
That's fine. You can put that money away. We could talk about what you're going to do with the money. We can talk about your safety getting to and from the club. All right? Like, I just got to keep you alive till your frontal cortex is fully put together. Because you're an idiot.
And you're an idiot. And, you know, it also, this reminds me of the Jennifer Pan thing, like, which is, that's exactly what her parents did.
Yeah.
They had no idea she was going to try and kill them. But
no, that was a lot.
You
that
know.
Was a lot.
And I do think that drugs and have a lot to do with this. I think that not really understanding, I don't think they understood exactly what they were doing. But they fucked around basically, and they definitely found out. So in the end, Heather was the first of the group to plead guilty. And I think it's because her parents were like, well, this is your mess, you're gonna have to figure this out. Even though they got a lawyer, she had, you know, she had help. She had support from her family, even though they were furious with her.
Yeah.
Because in one, and my research, when she had this interview with ABC Primetime News, she was out on bail, and she had started working at she had gotten a job at like an insurance company, but then they found out about this, and then she was fired. But she was like playing tennis, she was going to church with her family. They were horrified, but they were trying to be there and support her as best as they could. So she was the first to go, and she pled guilty. So it's better per prosecution of her and her co-defendants. During her sentencing hearing, she took to the witness stand and between sobs apologized for hurting and embarrassing her family and friends. And she said, quote, a lot of people look down on me. I feel terrible. I want to set a good example for my little sister. She's a great kid. I don't want her to end up like me. End quote.
Yeah.
And because she owned up to it, and I think also because she had good counsel, she was sentenced to 10 years of probation.
What? I'm sorry. So she robbed a bank. I'm not.
She robbed a bank.
You need to go to jail for a little bit, girl. Okay.
That's what the officer was saying. He was like, I think, Now, Ashley, remember Ashley, when they got popped, was like, those are my drugs, officer. Leave my man alone. She pled guilty to theft and the drug charges and served 2 years in jail and 8 years on probation. So she also got 10 years, but 2 years in jail.
I think Heather should have also gotten 2 years in jail. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Don't rob a bank, bitch.
Yeah.
Sorry, not
now,
sorry.
Now, Ashley served her sentence at Arundel State Prison on, and that began on May 21st, 2008.
Wait, Arundel? Is that like
Arundale?
That's from Frozen.
Arundel?
That's the land. Listen, I have children. I know about these things.
I did.
Anyways,
not,
total side note, that has nothing to do with anything.
I mean, she frozen in prison. I mean, 2 years. One day is too long, but 2 years. Yeah. And then so her term began on 2008, May of 2008. And then she was released in January of 2011. Okay. Now, the men, the black men, Benny worked at the bank as a teller. He was sentenced to 10 years as well and served 5.
What?
Yep.
But there's no such thing as systemic racism. This doesn't make any sense.
I mean, the judge said that the additional penalty on him was because he did not testify truthfully in the trial against Michael.
But that's so much longer. It's then 3 years in jail total and 7 years probation. That doesn't add up. That doesn't make any
Heather
sense.
Spent no time. She's other than the month. She didn't spend any time in prison. She got 10 years probation. Heather spent 2 years. And I also think it's because Heather, I think the drug charges really like that kind of. Also, I think that she was taking the rap for her black boyfriend.
Yeah.
So who I'm assuming the judges were white, were looking down on that as well. So she got 2 years, right? Yeah. Benny got 10 and he served 5. Now this is, he didn't do the robbing. He was in on it, but he got more than both of them. And then Michael
Yeah.
Was convicted of plotting the heist. He ultimately served 10, he got 10 years, but that was added to 15 years he had for another conviction on drug charges. And he's the oldest. So in total, he got 25 years, but he got 10 years. So basically, he got 10 years. They all got 10 years, but he had to serve 10 years. Benny had to serve 5 years. Ashley had to serve 2 years. And Heather had to serve none.
Do you think Heather can sleep at night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that this is how privilege works. It also, it could be that Heather's parents were able to afford a lawyer.
Yeah.
And I also think that, because I couldn't find any interview with Ashley. Heather was doing all the interviewing. So it could be that Ashley, I think Ashley seems, and again, this is just my interpretation. I don't know how real this is, but she seemed more remorseful and not really chasing the limelight. And again, it could be because she didn't have the resources to get a good lawyer. And so because a good lawyer is not only they're going to defend you, but they also give you a pep talk, tell you how to appear in court, that you have to appear repentant. You have to,
beg
for the mercy, you know,
to be able to say, I want my little sister to look up at me. That's like coached. That shit is coached. That's a PR team, sweetheart.
Exactly. I'm like you. I think they all should have gotten 2 years.
They should have all gotten 2 years.
Or at least a year. I know that they're very young, but at least a year. Let's say they all got a year, right? And then, I mean, Michael is on some other stuff, so...
I can't speak for Michael. I don't know what
he's
doing.
Speak for Michael. But even Benny, but see, this is why I don't let people drag you into some bullshit, some foolishness, people.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get caught. The more people there are in the heist... the more chances you are, you're going to get caught. This is not some like movie, Hollywood movie.
I was just
going to
say
like,
Ocean's 8.
Yeah.
It's like, a movie. It didn't happen. Yeah.
Because they literally got up and was like, I guess. And then the fact that, you know what? They should have called it off when they went to the wrong bank.
Yeah. But they didn't. Because they're stupid. Didn't.
So that is my story, which I think is a great one to end out the season of.
Oh my God.
The Barbie Bandits.
Wow. So today's theme is actually white woman privilege.
Okay.
Oh, it's a theme. Nothing to do with those wonderful, highly intelligent people. So we're in a land of election world.
Yes.
And I was talking to my husband about like who would be like, I don't know, like on theme, but not exactly, because we're getting a lot right about the people, you know, out there now. Mm-hmm. And so today I'm going to talk about Sarah Palin. White Woman Privilege Day.
All righty then. Yeah. You know, when I think of her, I can only think of Tina Fey.
I know, me too. Oh my God. On our Instagram, all I'm going to do is post Tina Fey clips, just so you know. It's not really going to have anything to do with actual Sarah Palin, but we'll talk about actual Sarah Palin here.
Okay, and talk about white foolishness. Oh my Lord.
So, well, I think it's really interesting. I learned some things. I will start with the fact that I'm going to talk about maybe a 12th. I could have done a three-parter on her, which I think is actually really interesting.
Yeah,
but nobody wants a three-parter on Sarah Palin. Not even conservatives. So like, let's, you know, so for us, let's just like get it out, you know, get her done. So Sarah was born and all right, you know what? I'll comment later. Let's just start. Okay. She was born in Sandpoint, Ohio, Idaho. Reading is power. Okay. February 11th, 1964. So she's the third of four children. They had three daughters and a son. She was born Sarah Heath, is her maiden name. Her parents are Sarah, named after her mom, and Charles, who was a science teacher and a track and field coach. Now, isn't it interesting that her father is a science teacher? Okay, let's move on. When she was a few months old, they moved to Skagway, Alaska. Her father had gotten a teaching job there. And then they relocated to Eagle River, Anchorage in 1969. And then Wasilla, Alaska, which is, I think, what we connect her to.
Yeah.
In 1972. So she had a lovely childhood. She was loved by her parents. She played the flute in the junior high band. She was head of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. That sounds right. And a member of the girls' basketball and cross-country running teams. During her senior year, she was co-captain and point guard of the basketball team that won the 1982 Alaska State Championship, which earned her the nickname Sarah Barracuda. Apparently, surprise, she's very competitive. Now, I just want to talk for a moment that without women's rights and the fight for women's rights, this bitch would not be playing basketball. Okay, nope. Title IX. I just wanted to say that. Yeah. And I didn't say, I said bish, which means nothing. It's not a word.
I say bitch.
Okay.
I'm fine with bitch.
Lovetta said bitch and I didn't
argue.
That's
one of my favorite words, bitch.
I like bish because it's like, I don't know, what did I say?
I don't like bitch in a 90s rap song. I like bitch, the Key and Peele bitch, where they're afraid to say it.
Yes. Listen, we all hail the bitches, so it's not even a put down. Not yet. We'll get there.
And bad bitches, stay bad. So
stay bad. You know, exactly. and here's the thing. Ultimately, you know, I always have an opinion, even though I just tell the story. But like I was, and I go up and down with her. I don't think she's not Dick Cheney. This, you know what I'm saying? Like.
No, she has the same problem, I think, Heather and Ashley. Like, she's definitely smarter than she puts out, but she ain't.
No, here's what
she's not a scholar.
I will say, from researching her, I think she's actually really smart. Which
really?
Is really interesting. We'll get to it. But she has her very, very strong, in a box opinions that cannot be outside of that box.
Well, see, that cancels out the intelligence because it. I mean, does, I will forgive her that I can see Russia from my house. I'll forgive her that because she seemed flustered. Look that up. But,
no, I know. But, y'all look it up. Look up Tina Facing. It's funnier.
She reminds. No, go ahead. She reminds me of a lot of like. I feel like she's a great poster child for like white female privilege in this country, where like. Someone who has the opinions that she has, the fact that she could become governor of a state.
Yeah. If you're like, you don't know who this is because you're 12 years old.
Yeah. You're just like, how the fuck, 90s propaganda about like how smart, like intelligence people or people in government are really worked on me because I assume you had to be smart to be elected.
We were very wrong. We were very wrong. All right. So let's keep going. But I think my point too is that she had a lovely childhood. I think sometimes when people are very, very narrow-minded and very one issue or one-sided, like you and I are very clearly Democrats, but we also see the flaws and we see the complications.
Or independents. I've been an independent too.
Like no more. Just because I need to vote in a primary, but
exactly.
But like, it's interesting. I always think like, oh, they must have had some trauma, and so that to hold on to a cult ideal, you know, it's an easier way out. But this girl had a lovely childhood. Lovely.
They had a lovely childhood, and they didn't want anybody else to have one. These are mean spirited people. Yeah, that's my problem with them. They're mean spirited.
Listen, I'm learning. Okay,
yeah.
So in 1984, she won the Miss Wasilla Beauty Pageant and finished third as second runner-up in the Miss Alaska Pageant, where she won the title of Miss Congeniality. Okay.
I will say Sarah Palin is a very attractive woman. When she first came out, I was like, damn it, she's attractive and she can speak. She can speak the English.
Okay. Let me keep going here. So as she graduated high school in 1982, and then so she enrolled in the University of Hawaii at Hilo, because I mean, I assume Alaska, she was cold. But then she got to Hawaii, she transferred to Hawaii Pacific University in Honolulu for a semester. But then she was like, no, it's too pretty. Let's go to Idaho. And I mean, I don't know why she left to go to Idaho, but she did.
She left Hawaii to go to Idaho?
Yeah. Like, no disrespect to Idaho. You have some lovely you know.
Yeah, but you ain't Hawaii.
Views, but you ain't Hawaii, okay? Yeah. I live in California. It's pretty here, but it's not Hawaii, okay?
I mean, it's not Hawaii, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And then, listen, so she then enrolled in North Idaho College, which was a community college in Coeur d'Alene for the spring and fall semesters, and then transferred to the University of Idaho in Moscow, Idaho. Okay, and then she went to Matanuska Susitna. I think it's like a native word that I'm messing up,
like,
and I formerly apologize. College in Alaska for a bit, then went back to University of Idaho to get her bachelor's in communication with an emphasis on journalism.
Wait a minute. So how many schools is that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Seven schools to get her bachelor's degree?
One was a repeat.
Or six schools to get her bachelor's degree?
Yeah, oh, that takes unusual. A lot of... Listen, if you're going to Google me, you'll find that I went to 5 schools. But I have an answer to your question as to why I didn't get into the theater program at first. I then later got into a different theater program. This girl, I don't know what she was doing traveling the country trying to get a bachelor's. I don't know.
And she never went back to Hawaii. It's like, girl... I know. I'm going back to Hawaii.
I know. And studying whatever.
And it could be that it tends to, I will say that people who are this insular and narrow in their like scope of the world tend to want to be around other people like themselves. Hawaii, if you ever go to Hawaii, if you ever get a chance to go to Hawaii, go to Hawaii. I've only ever heard one person complain about Hawaii, and it was a white blonde woman.
Yeah, she was probably
she was no longer the majority conservative.
Yeah,
in Hawaii, and that made her uncomfortable.
I was going to say that because Hawaii is extremely liberal
and diverse,
open-minded, super diverse, eco-friendly. Like, everything is very, which is beautiful. But
yeah,
like,
and white people are the minority in the numbers there.
They are.
So
So she went, but to Idaho. Okay, let's see what. I think you and I as detectives would do really well. I think we figured it out. Okay, so she got her degree May 1987. In August 1988, she eloped with Todd Palin, her husband. He was her high school sweetheart. Did you know that he is of indigenous Alaskan ancestry? Did you know that?
How much so? White people love to be like, I'm part Native American.
I figured this out. He's 1/8, which in America speak is enough.
Yeah, but it's not like he's like grew up on a res or
no. But like he has family that affected him. I did a little bit of research. Like he does come from. It's not like he discovered it on 23andMe. He like knew.
Yeah. No, that makes sense in that part of the world. But also, that is why she probably kept changing schools. She's in love. They were high school sweethearts.
Oh.
Yeah.
See.
That explains a lot. Yeah.
You and I are basically just Murdoch mysteries.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm Murder, She Wrote. Okay. Jessica Fletcher raised me. Okay.
I'm the female doctor in early 1900s. Okay.
Dr. Quinn, medicine woman.
All right. Okay. Don't be jealous. All right. So they have 5 kids, which y'all knew, but I'm going to tell us. So she has sons Track and Trig, and her daughters Bristol, Willow, and Piper. Her youngest, Trig, was prenatally diagnosed with Down syndrome. Okay. Aww. So that's her family. So after she graduated, she worked as a sportscaster in Anchorage and a sports reporter. Which were things that she always seemed to want to do. Now, in 1996, apparently there was a revenue from a new Wasilla sales tax that inspired her to run for mayor of Wasilla because she was afraid the money was not going to be spent wisely, aka not be spent on the things that she wanted them spent on.
Yeah. This is where the meanness comes in.
Right. So she defeated the incumbent mayor, John Stein. Now, her biographer said her campaign was targeting the wasteful spending and high taxes. Her opponent, John Stein, was like, yeah, no, she brought in abortion and gun rights and term limits as her campaign issues. Now, this election was supposed to be nonpartisan, but this bitch knows how to play And also, it was supposed to be nonpartisan, but the Republican Party ran advertisements for her. So,
okay, yeah,
I'm confused what they think partisan means. Okay. Now, here's what Sarah did. Okay. She cut property taxes by 75%, eliminated personal property and business inventory taxes. Using municipal bonds, she made improvements to roads and sewers and increased funding to the police department. She did do new bike paths and she did fund stormwater treatment to protect freshwater resources. So what I just said was she helped all the wealthy landowners. And she also helped all the wealthy business owners. In exchange for that, she reduced the budget of the local museum. She postponed discussions about a new library and city hall, which they were saying they needed. She eliminated the position of museum director. She also asked the head librarian if there was a book that people weren't super into, could we not have that book in the library? And this librarian was like, yeah, that's fine. So
You just said? So she cut property taxes.
Yeah, by 75%.
75%. Now all of those taxes is what goes to fund
schools,
roads, schools, yep, libraries, all the stuff that makes museums, the quality of life better.
Yes.
Right? Museums. Yes. So when you cut the taxes from that, you're no longer getting in their revenue. So then you have to take it from other places that they usually, these kind of mean-spirited people like to take it from quality of life places, meaning schools, museums, libraries, to fund something. But you're also probably contributing to the deficit.
Oh,
of the state, because you're no longer bringing in revenue, you know, so you're going to get in the red soon.
Oh,
so which is, again, why you're trying to take it from other places where, okay, let's say you wanted to cut property taxes by 30%. Okay, I'm not crazy about that, because I think that that's what we all as a society, we pay taxes because it goes to schools, museums, roads.
So you live here, you've purchased property here, you need to help the neighborhood out. You need to help your community out. That's part
of it. I mean, it's the same reason that taxes are very high in Beverly Hills. And you know why? Because when you go to Beverly Hills, proper Beverly Hills,
damn,
the roads are spotless.
They're so
beautiful.
The
roads are spotless. Yeah. They're wide.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's, y'all, if you're driving through LA and then suddenly it's beautiful and you're in this weird utopia, it's because you accidentally just drove into Beverly Hills. It's
and you know what? Property taxes in Beverly Hills are fucking high because they get, and they also, there's no crime, there's low crime there.
There's no crime.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the local police force, watch Beverly Hills Cop, and the building looks that beautiful. It's so true.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
They have more coverage. But again, that's the main thing I notice when you go to Beverly Hills. You're like, because the houses are nice, they're not all humongous.
They're not.
But the roads... The roads are spotless.
When I first moved here, I did accidentally drive, and I was like, oh, these are cute houses. And then I was like, oh no, girl, you're never living here.
Yeah.
Move it along, child.
Yeah.
Okay. So she also, she asked for updated resumes and resignation letters from city department heads who had been loyal to Stein and not her. Even though, again, the mayor's office was considered nonpartisan. Did I mention it was considered nonpartisan?
It sounds familiar. Cute. Doesn't it sound familiar?
Doesn't this feel like a memory? Yeah. She just wanted to find out what their intentions were and if they were loyal to her. What? Okay. Stalin.
This is America. Not feudal Palin. England.
Right? But she also created a position of city administrator and reduced her own salary, which was $68,000, which is not crazy. But in the 90s, it was pretty good, by 10%. Yeah. She reduced.
Well, that's something.
And that's why I say she's complex. I would never vote for her.
But also, mayor has free housing.
Yeah, that's also true.
They're free housing. Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say that this feels like old school Republican.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I would never vote for you, but you're not selling state secrets to the Russians. So, like, that's fine. Why don't you, like, run and I'll vote against you? And then maybe you'll trash the place, like, a little, but not destroy everything. Like, you're not burning it down. Just, like,
no, but you're just making it harder for middle class and working class people. Right.
But you're not burning it down. You know, my standards are very low these days.
No, no, listen, we all are like, Reagan was a piece of, you know what?
Yeah, but like, he was. But like, I'll vote for Reagan.
But he would also, one thing, he was not a fucking treasonous motherfucker. He wasn't selling secrets to Russia.
He let people die, but it wasn't like our entire country. Yeah. He did let people die. Let's not forget that.
He had some standards, it seemed.
A little. Maybe kind of.
But the mean-spiritedness, letting people die, not acknowledging HIV and AIDS, like,
that's,
you know, welfare, taxing Social Security. He was the first president to do that.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. All right, let's go on.
Yeah.
forgot. All right. So she won a second term as mayor, of course. And this is where you were talking about, sometimes I make some financial mistakes trying to be cool. So she proposed and promoted the construction of a municipal sports center to be financed by a 0.5% sales tax increase and a $14.7 million bond issue. So the voters approved the measure by like a 20-vote margin, and it was built on time and under budget. However, they spent an additional $1.3 million because of an eminent domain lawsuit caused by the city's failure to obtain clear title to the property before beginning construction. So the city's long-term debt grew from about $1 million to about $25 million. Okay.
See, and you could have built this thing if you had just lowered property taxes, like I said, by 30%.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you can't have it all. You just can't.
No, they want it all, but on the backs of working, the working poor, the working class, and the middle class. They want it all, but they want it on the backs of those people.
Exactly. So the Wall Street Journal characterized the project as a financial mess. And if the Wall Street Journal does that, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so in 2002, she ran for the Republican nomination for lieutenant governor. She came in second to Lauren Lehman in a five-way Republican primary. Now, following her defeat, she campaigned through the state for the nominated Republican governor lieutenant governor ticket of Frank Murkowski and Lehman. So Murkowski won, and she, Murkowski and Lehman won. Murkowski resigned from his long-held U.S. Senate seat for this, and she thought she was going to be picked for that seat. However, he appointed his daughter, sound familiar, Lisa Murkowski, as his successor.
Oh, okay. Yes.
But he offered other jobs to her, and she ended up being the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, and which oversees Alaska's oil and gas field. She was real excited to learn about Alaska's oil and gas.
Okay, so let me get this
straight.
Because
she didn't know shit.
So she was mayor.
Yeah.
And under her term as mayor of Wasilla, under her term as mayor, the city's budget got in the red by
$25 million.
$25 million. So instead of her, that disqualifying her for a better job.
No.
She gets a better job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Failing up. See, women fail up too, y'all. Yeah. All right. So in 2004, she decided to not run for state Senate that year. She told Anchorage Daily News because she said, quote, "How could I be the team mom if I was a U.S. Senator?" Because her kid didn't want her to do it. All right. Okay, fine.
That's good. Yeah.
So she... In 2006, she running on a clean government platform. This was her big thing from here on out, is cleaning up government, cleaning up dirty politics. She defeated Governor Frank Murkowski in the Republican gubernatorial primary, and then she later became Alaska's first female governor at the age of 42, the youngest governor in Alaskan history. Now, listen.
Again, after taking her city's budget from a surplus to a deficit of almost 25 million.
As you and I say, women can be anything.
including bad at their job.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So she took office December 4th, 2006, and she was very popular for most of her term. Listen, like 93%, 89%, like approved. Her first legislative action, in fact, was to push for a bipartisan ethics reform bill. She signed the resulting legislation July 20, 2007, calling it a first step and declaring that she remained determined to clean up Alaska politics. Now, this is where it gets interesting. I know I'm rushing. I'm very excited.
Okay.
So, little controversy that I did not know about. She dismissed Public Safety Commissioner Walt Monaghan on July 11th, 2008, citing performance issues such as not being a team player on budgeting issues and egregious rogue behavior. Now, before this, summer of 2007, remember that summer? She was being courted, like, by Fox News pundits, essentially, to decide if perhaps she should be the vice presidential candidate along with John McCain as he was running for president. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Bill Kristol, you know that douche from Fox News? Alleged douche. Don't sue me.
Maybe if I saw his face, I don't
solid
know.
Solid alleged
people.
Douche here. Yeah.
Okay.
He urged John McCain to pick her. So,
okay.
A year later, she dismisses this guy. Now, while this is, Monaghan had said that he resisted persistent pressure from Palin, her husband, and her staff, including the state attorney general, to fire Sarah's ex-brother-in-law, Alaska State Trooper Mike Wooten. Now, Wooten was involved in a child custody battle with Sarah's sister after a bitter divorce that included an alleged death threat against her father. Now, listen, I understand you're pissed and you're like, wait, I got the power. However,
but if your whole thing is government ethics,
I know.
And again, and this is what I mean. They're mean-spirited and the rules don't apply to me.
No.
They apply to you.
Yeah. So they hired a private investigator, just Sarah and Todd, not the government, to gather information seeking to have him disciplined. Now, Monaghan, who was the public safety commissioner, said that he learned that an internal investigation had found all but two of the allegations to be unsubstantiated. So they were accusing Wooten of a lot of things, but he was like, but they're not substantiated. Like, I can't. So, and he had been disciplined for the other things. So he told them, he's like, he's been disciplined and the other things aren't true. We can't prove it at any rate. So he can't fire him because there are rules.
Well, it's also like, it's like the pot calling the kettle black. Girl, you were terrible at your job as mayor, and now you're governor and you're using your power to. And yep. I mean, listen, maybe her ex-brother-in-law is a piece of shit. Who
I'm
knows?
Sure he's a piece of shit. I have no doubt.
But you are trumpeting, you know, you're leading this charge for cleaning up government and ethics violations, and you're here using your own personal money to find some dirt on your ex-brother-in-law. Like, make it make sense, girl. Make it make sense.
Now, when, you know, later Monaghan said, like, yes, there was pressure to fire him. And then he said he couldn't be certain that the reason that he was fired was because he wouldn't fire him. And then later he was like, yeah, no, but I think that's what happened. So,
yeah,
of
that's
course,
the best way. You're not really sure. You can't trace it back to that. Yeah.
The Palins were like, we've never put any pressure on him. Quote, Sarah Palin, I did not abuse my office powers and I don't know how to be more blunt and candid and honest. But to tell you that truth, to tell you that no pressure was ever put on anybody to fire anybody, end quote. And Todd said the same thing. Now, she did acknowledge that half a dozen members of her administration had made more than two dozen calls on the matter to various state officials. So then Sarah was like, I mean, I can see where you perceived that, where that was the perception. But like, I did not. No. Now, Chuck Kopp, a guy who she had appointed to replace Monaghan as public safety commissioner, received a $10,000 state severance package after he resigned following just 2 weeks on the job. cop, who was the former Kenai chief of police, resigned July 25th. But he resigned because there was a disclosure of a 2005 sexual harassment complaint and a letter of reprimand against him. Now, here's what I will say. Monaghan did not get a severance package from the state. And Kopp, who resigned because he's a sexual assaulter, allegedly, got $10,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying. Like, help your friends. And
so, several weeks after the start of what the media was calling Troopergate, Palin was chosen as John McCain's running mate. So all of this is happening at the same time, right? This 2008, this is the summer.
Yeah.
So, and there's more, there's more with this, but we'll never leave. So, okay. So she is the VP.
Chosen,
What is it? What is the word? You know the word.
The VP candidate.
The VP candidate.
John McCain. Yeah.
Now listen, nobody knew her. Only Alaskans knew her. The rest of us were like, what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. And they were surprised because McCain's argument against Obama was that he didn't have experience. And then Sarah, who's just like fucking it up in Alaska, is now the VP running mate.
Now, I will say her first speech, an introduction to, was impressive. Even I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Because she was like, good. She's an attractive woman, like I said.
She is.
And she had that down-home folksiness, you know, that people love.
They love it.
You know, and she seemed to know what she was talking about. At least, you know, she seemed like a female Reagan in that, you know, Reagan used to be an actor.
Yeah.
So they know how to deliver those lines at first.
Well, so there was drama. If you were alive in the time, you'll remember that it turns out her daughter was 17 and pregnant. And she basically married the father because they were like, at the time, like, I mean, now the Republican ticket, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. But at the time, it was like family values. So this poor girl had to marry. And she's been on lots of things. And she's like, no, I wanted to. I was like, what? Didn't we just talk about how 17-year-olds aren't fully formed yet? Okay.
Yes, right.
Exactly. The same day she revealed her daughter being pregnant was the day that she asked the legislature to drop its investigation into the review of the Monaghan dismissal. Because the Alaska legislator hired an investigator. His name was Stephen Branchflower. So they called it the Branchflower Report, which sounds very pretty. But, you know,
that's a good name, too. Branchflower.
But they were like, no, we're not going to do that. Okay, Alaska.
See, it's never the deed. It's always the cover up of the deed, right?
Oh, my God. Right. So September 3rd, she delivered the 40-minute acceptance speech that you were just talking about. And it did well. But what, you know how you were like, she was kind of folksy. This bitch stole it. So there's a right-wing faux populist, Westbrook Pegler. And he wrote, quote, "We grow good people in our small towns with honesty and sincerity and dignity," end quote. That's a quote. She just said it.
Things never change. Also, I want to keep in mind, remember, she was a beauty queen, a beauty pageant person too.
Oh, that's
so
true.
Yes. So I think that also contributed probably to her success in politics, because she knows how to sort of like get up there and like, and you know, you and I are performers and we've had, you know, training. So we forget how hard it is to do that for people who are not used to doing that.
Right.
And with her, she grew up in pageants and she even placed high in pageants in Alaska.
Very well. Yeah.
So they also know her. And like I said, she is an attractive woman. Like she physically is an attractive woman. Every time I see her, I'm like, wow, she has great cheekbones, you know, but but just keep in mind, I always remember that, like,
true.
She used to be a beauty queen.
And they were worried about her. So the media was like alleging that McCain's campaign restricted press from her and they only let her have 3 one-on-one interviews. Now, I don't know if you remember this. So me too. The first
Katie
was with
Kirk.
Charles. Oh, that was the one. Okay, so the first was Charles Gibson. Softballs, she did okay, wasn't great. The next one was Sean Hannity, and surprise, it went really well. He literally asked her the same questions Charles Gibson asked her. Okay. Yeah. And then she had her interview with Katie Couric, and every woman in the country went, no, you may not represent me. Absolutely not. You are not the woman to do this shit. Okay.
Yep.
And then they were worried that she was going to be a liability. Now, they actually
I just want to make a context for people who aren't familiar with it. Katie literally asked her, what newspapers are you reading?
Yes.
And I don't know if she was nervous or they hadn't prepped her for that. And again, everybody has prep. That's nothing new. But like, she literally couldn't name. And then she got defensive and was like, that's a gotcha question.
Yeah, that was a gotcha question. And I was like, you could say New York Times, Los Angeles, the Alaska Times. Don't you have regular, I walk past the LA Times a lot. I see them at Washington Post. Come on.
Everyone knows the New
York
Times.
Wall Street Journal. Yeah. These are big. They come up on sitcoms. Okay. it was really like, we all felt like she's making women look stupid. And we did not like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think she underestimated that too. Like,
I think she did too. Oh. And I think she was, I think she blanked. Honestly.
Yeah, I think she blanked too.
And
yeah,
I don't
think
that's where, I mean, I think she also doesn't read a newspaper. I also think that. But I don't think she's not intelligent.
Not at all.
She has her very specific beliefs and she is honed in. Now, I just want to talk about the fact that they had a VP debate. They used to do this. I forgot.
Yeah.
So she debated with Biden. Biden won, like, hands down. Biden was like, I feel sorry for this girl.
Yeah.
Because he's a nice guy. She went on SNL with Tina Fey. It was epic. I loved it, but not because I loved her, just because I love Tina Fey.
Yeah, and Tina killed it. So now, I love her.
She killed it. So October 10th, 2008, the Alaska Legislative Council unanimously voted to release, without endorsing, they released it though, the Branch Flower Report, in which the investigator found that firing Monaghan was, quote, was a proper and lawful exercise of her constitutional and statutory authority, end quote, but that Palin abused her power as governor and violated the state's Executive Branch Ethics Act when her office pressured Monaghan to fire Wooten. Which is funny because still, remember, ethics was her thing.
Yep.
But then the bipartisan State of Alaska Personnel Board reviewed that matter at her request. It's just getting reviewed over and over again. And then they were like, basically, the Branch Flower Report used the wrong statute in reaching its conclusions. Absolutely not. She was fine. Mm. Essentially. Okay. That's okay. Fine. So they lost hard. Obama won gloriously. It was a great day. We all cried.
Yeah.
Okay. Like in the most beautiful way. Remember when Obama and Michelle like danced? Oh, I'll never forget. Okay.
Yeah.
So then she became a guest commentator on Glenn Beck's Fox News television show. Okay. She commented, and I think this is important, that Barack Obama was her president and that she would assist in any way to bring progress to the nation without abandoning her conservative views. And listen, I give that to her. And I don't like her.
Yeah, because she didn't run up on the Capitol.
She did not. That's right.
I don't know, but did we check where Sarah Palin was? No, I'm just kidding. She did not do that in 2008. So,
No, she did not. Right? Because we can do this, y'all.
That's all we're asking for. Don't run up on the Capitol if you don't get your way.
Our bar is low. She had a show on TLC called Sarah Palin's Alaska. She had an interview show on Fox News that lasted for like a hot minute. And they found out later that some of the people that they said she interviewed, they were like, I've never met her. What are you talking about? They pulled their footage from other interviews and made it look like she interviewed them.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Crazy?
Can she not have conversations with people?
Because people didn't want to talk to her because they reached out. And nobody wanted to be interviewed by this woman who did not look good.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want Sarah Palin to interview you, Lovetta?
Well, I don't want anybody over there to interview me.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because if I'm confused and all of a sudden it becomes I'm the angry black woman because I'm like, you guys are idiots.
And they'll just put like dark music behind you calmly saying you guys are idiots. She released her memoir, Going Rogue, An American Life.
Oh, that's right.
She resigned as governor of Alaska, which was a long story. But again, well, that's another day. I'm going to talk about how she was the keynote speaker at the first Tea Party convention in Nashville, Tennessee. Remember the Tea Party?
Oh, yeah.
She was the keynote speaker at the first one. So she was the one who started that. Now she's been focusing on supporting and endorsing female Republican candidates, one of which is Nikki Haley. Mm. Nikki, who was like polling behind three other candidates with Sarah's support, became governor of South Carolina that year.
Really?
Yes. Now,
Nikki Haley, who's pretending to be white.
Yeah, it's cute. You get enough, you have a big enough team.
She's passing as white, but it's like, girl, we know.
Everybody knows. Yeah.
Everybody knows. But maybe people don't know, because sometimes people are shocked when you bring up the fact that her name is it Nimrata or Nimarata? But I think it's Nimrata.
Don't ask me to pronounce name,
but then she does that folksy thing and she's, she's doing like the folksy.
She learned it from Sarah.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah,
she's got a little twang in her voice.
Yep. Okay. Yep. I think it's interesting that this is the Republican I wish was running, and I would never vote for her in a million years, but listen, she's anti-abortion. I hate that. Unless the mother's life is in danger. I still hate it. But these motherfuckers don't give a shit.
Well, yeah, now they have, pretense has come off. But, you know, it's so funny. The way they're behaving now is that I feel like a lot of black people are like, well, we knew you motherfuckers was this underneath all that anyway. Mm-hmm. But the people like Reagan, who I actually think John McCain, some things he was for that I was against, but I felt like John McCain had honor, and I don't know if it's because he's a American hero, it's because he's a veteran, but he had honor, and I felt like his beliefs aren't just out of meanness, like we said, taking the money, like cutting taxes for the wealthy, the people who can afford it, and then continuing to tax working poor, middle class, and using that to fund government versus I just feel like that's my fundamental thing with them. But underneath it, I think they're just mean people. Like they don't care. Mm. Like in Florida, you know, the Biden administration gave out free extra money to provide meals for poor children all over the states. Fucking Florida and Kentucky turned it down.
Yeah.
Like they will turn down free money to help poor children.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that I want to say was not happening then.
No, I don't think so. I don't know, but they weren't that. They always had kind of a mean streak, but in a sense to kind of control you. But now they have no the family values, all of that.
Exactly. Like I would like to go back to this shit that I'm going to vote against every time.
Remember Mitt Romney?
I know. Remember we were so scared of him? Okay. I mean, right? I mean, she, for example, she's pro handgun, but not semi-automatic weapon. Yeah. Right? Okay. I mean,
what we would call a moderate Republican.
A moderate Republican, which at the time did not feel moderate.
No.
But if you look at her stance, she thinks marijuana should maybe be fully legal, but it's not a big deal. Let's not arrest people for that. Yeah. She thinks sex education should include abstinence, but not only. It should also include contraception. She actually has a quote. I don't know the direct quote, but that science should be taught in science class. And that she has her beliefs, but science is science.
Her dad was a science teacher.
So, you know what I mean? Like, they're like right now, they're just trying to burn it all down.
And the case could be made that Republicans of her ilk, Liz Cheney ilk, John McCain ilk, Mitt Romney ilk, they really maybe believe that I want less government. And let me just be clear, that whole like, small government always rings of like we're mad about the Civil War because the government came in and told us we couldn't keep our slave. So even though sometimes people are saying that and they don't realize that's where that comes from. If you know anything about American history, that's where it comes from, really. They states' rights above. Yeah, because the states' rights to keep their slaves. But anyway, I digress. But I feel like Republicans, moderate Republicans, just even like 10, 15 years ago, they wouldn't consider it mean-spirited. They would consider it like, they still want to give tax cuts to rich people and put more of the onus on middle-class people, but they also don't think, you know, music programs, theater programs, museums, libraries are important, and those things are important.
That's what's important right now is to understand that the Republican Party is not what it was 10 years ago. So if you were hardcore, who was it? Someone very big and very conservative, very Republican, just posted a thing saying that that he is going to vote for Kamala and he is going, that this is not, we have gotten out of hand. And I think that, so it's, that's kind of why I want to talk about Sarah and her politics. Like, she is a woman. I would never vote for her with a 10-foot pole. I disagree with almost all of her policies. I think she tried to undercut some shit she shouldn't have done. Maybe allegedly, I don't know, except at the end they found out she didn't, so never mind. Just kidding. Alleged.
But also, I want to go back to her being mayor. She started out with more money in the in the black, and when she left, it was in the red by 20-something million dollars.
I've got to say, there's so many more stories that I didn't get it to. And I was like looking to like, okay, what do I want to talk about? Yeah. And that one was very, it was pretty telling because they're fiscally conservative. Bitch, you just lost $25 million.
It's like you want all these things, but that's what we do with taxes. That is what we do with taxes.
Those people who own property and signed all these documents saying that they could in fact pay their property taxes. I've bought a house. You have to prove your ability to pay for every part of your house, not just your house, or the bank won't give you the loan. So they
and
have
by
proven
75%.
That's
to
fucking
like,
insane. 20%. I'll give you 20%.
That's
fact,
the thing.
If you want to give me 20% off my property taxes, I'm not mad. But I say that living in California. Okay.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, it's, what is she doing now? I haven't heard from her in a while. Like,
yeah. So she's been behind the scenes trying to build up her like female Republican world,
like influence. Okay.
She ran in special elections in 2022 to replace Congressman Don Young, who had just died. And that was 2022. So she had endorsed Donald Trump in 2016. The thing is, like, I'm saying we really can't turn back time. I'm not saying I wish Sarah was a Republican out there running. P.S. In 2022, she lost very hard. She got 25% of the vote, like really, really, really bad. But
I just remember the story when she was running with John McCain that people were saying that her family members were they were demanding all this extra stuff, money for wardrobes.
So I can talk about that.
Okay. I don't know if that's true, allegedly.
I think it was, they did. The RNC spent $250,000 to dress her and her family. Now, what I read was that it was investments in which she was going to return, and she did return the clothing. Now, here's the thing, though. I don't know, like, hair and makeup, posture lessons, like, all of those things. Like, you can't return that. But she
and
did
also,
return
that's part
the
of,
clothes.
That's part of being on the national stage, too. Like,
yeah. That's why I didn't go there, because I was like, that's what they do. And the reality is, like, you want to pick on her, like, as a woman.
Yeah,
women need more, or they will not reach out to people because people are assholes and we are a patriarchal society. Yeah. So she kind of had to do that. I'm not even mad about that. And she did return the clothes.
Yeah, and hair and makeup for women, because you need to hire a hair and makeup person. And they need to travel around with you.
And they need to go with you for every single moment.
And they're worth their weight in gold, because without them, you look like a hot mess.
Listen, I would like to go on tour with hair and makeup person. We're going to look so good. Her and Todd divorced in 2019. I forgot to mention that.
I heard about that.
Yeah. It was like, I forgot. I didn't write it down, but it's like irreconcilable. It's not even irreconcilable differences. It was irreconcilable it's harsher than that.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. Todd divorced her from what I saw. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin, y'all.
That was very, very interesting. That was a different right? time. Seems so long ago, right?
Doesn't it? It and it does. Like, it feels like it's yesterday, but it's like, no.
Yeah. And listeners, if you want to get your life, go in, on YouTube and look up videos of Tina Fey doing Sarah Palin on SNL on Saturday Night Live.
I can really see awesome. Russia from my window.
It's the accent just gets me every time.
So good. Tina does it like a little better than me, but like, you know, just a little.
Not much better. Thank you. My dear friend. Not Thank you. Much better. But she Tina, looks like listening. Her too. It's the brown
she looks
hair.
Exactly like
and
her.
Like, yeah, she looks it's in creepy. The glasses. And like, it, she looks a lot like her. So. But thank you so much for sharing, Sarah Palin. And thank
welcome.
You guys. Thank you listeners for joining us for this latest episode of Notorious Women. Again, a reminder that after this is the final episode of Yay. This season and we will take next week off the week after this post. And so just come back, and join us then. In the meantime, remember to follow us on all the things.
Yes, please.
Please go and leave us a 5-star review in the new season. We will start that up again. So we would love to have some reviews to read from you guys. You can do that in the Apple Store. Again, 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars.
5 stars.
And you could also help us out at patreon.com if you want to give us some little moolah, some little shekels, some dinero. Yes. So okane.
Money,
baby. You can make it rain over at our Patreon at patreon.com/notorious women. That's patreon.com/notorious women. And Miriam, how else can they support the show and find us?
You all come join us at Instagram. It's Notorious Women Podcast. If you have thoughts or ideas, or you want to send me funny memes, you can DM us there. I like play on Instagram because this week, y'all, it's going to be a lot of Tina Fey. Okay.
Yeah. Miriam is killing it. She, full disclosure, she's fully responsible for our Instagram. Yeah. Like,
sometimes
she
I inform Lovetta of what we're doing because I'm like, it's your Instagram too, girl.
I'll post occasionally. I'll be posting more, but she is killing it. It is, it's got her, and she is like, she'll be like, what do you think? This is great. I'm like, this is fantastic. What do you mean?
Y'all,
this
it's is fun. Great. It's fun. So, I like it. Feels cleansing to me.
Yeah.
You can also email us at notoriouswmpod@gmail.com. And that is that. Oh, we also have a YouTube channel. You can listen to episodes. The YouTube channel.
Yes, do that. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.